bow on the thing. Noon, and welcome to the Shots at Tenier NFL podcast from FTN for Thursday, July 16th, 2026. We are back for regular Thursday shows from now up until the start of the season. We've got division previews every Thursday at noon Eastern, and then we will start with our regular two-a-week shows in the regular season, previewing and reviewing games. We are excited to be back. Mike Tenier is with me. FTN Football Almanac is now out. It's in all your internets. It's not in stores. It's on Amazon. And it's on FTN, ftnfantasy.com/almanac. If you don't have the almanac, you want to go out and buy it. But we are going to talk about all of the predictions today for the NFC East.
What are stores?
Yes, it's a thing. It's a place where you used to buy things.
Right. Right.
You leave your house, and then you went to a place, and they had things, and you bought them.
It was like Barnes and Dalton or something like that, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Walden Bookery.
Walden Books, yes.
Walden Booksmith. The NFC East is interesting. One of the things is because of the schedule. All of these teams have tough schedules this year. They all have top 10 schedules, but we'll talk in a little bit about which team got the hardest schedule by our numbers. So let us start with the Philadelphia Eagles, your defending NFC East champions. They have 9.2 average wins, and they make the playoffs in about 54% of our simulations. Don't forget with the average wins, by the way, our simulation tends to group things very close to average because there is a lot of unexpected things that happen in the NFL. Just look at last year. So we don't have any crazy like teams are predicted at 12 or 13 wins, nothing like that. The DVOA projections for the Eagles, looking just at the ranks, 19th on offense, 4th on defense, 21st on special teams, and 12th total. And I think the offense is a lot of the discussion that people are having. Obviously, it really disappointed people last year. It was actually better by DVOA than it was by other stats, in part because of a lack of turnovers. But now they are really changing, going to the Sean Mannion as the new offensive coordinator with a lot more under-center play action, sort of a Shanahan-McVay-influenced offense. And there's a lot of discussion of just how well Jalen Hurts will fit that and how well all the new receivers will fit that because A.J. Brown is gone, and instead now they have Mekhi Lemon, the first-round pick, Dontavian Wicks, and Hollywood Brown.
And Eli Stowers is the number two tight end, and Damian Pierce in the mix, and Johnny Munt in the mix, and Elijah Moore in the mix. The Eagles did a lot to – it's like 15 guys trying to replace A.J. Brown is what it boils down to, and we're going to see if that actually adds up to a more coherent offense.
Yeah. Don't forget, by the way, if you are watching us live, which we do on YouTube, Thursdays, noon Eastern, you can make comments and ask questions. Obviously, the Eagles are driven by defense and nobody, you know, I think one of the interesting things in recent years is that defense has correlated better from year to year than it had in the past. It's still not as good as offense, but there's a little bit more predictiveness to it. So a lot of last year's top defenses, we are predicting, will be top defenses again. And the Eagles are clearly one of them, led by the pass defense, definitely fifth last year in pass defense DVOA. And the remarkable thing is the play of the cornerbacks, especially now that they seem to have papered over the worst weakness by getting Reek Willen from Seattle. Last year in the cornerback coverage DVOA, Reek Willen was 7th among outside corners. Quinyon Mitchell was 11th. And Cooper DeJean was 5th among nickelbacks. So that is the strength of this team.
And nobody else that the Eagles inserted as their other cornerback opposite Quinyon Mitchell was anywhere near 11th or 7th.
Yeah, Ringo and all the like random cornerbacks.
Ringo and it was a mess at that side of the ball. That papers over one of the weaknesses. Another addition on defense, Jonathan Greenard, who comes in and should, if he goes back to his form from a couple of years ago, provide an edge rusher on a par with Jalen Phillips, who left, who was only there for half a year anyway.
And if I remember correctly, Greenard has had a good number of pressures last year. He just didn't turn them into sacks. And usually pressures are going to be more consistent from year to year than sacks. And he's likely to turn those into more sacks this year. So, I mean, I'm not worried. The only worry I think about their defense is there is one safety position that's really a weakness when they are in nickel. If Cooper DeJean is a nickel back, then they have Marcus Epps as one of the safeties along with Makuba.
Yeah.
I guess DeJean in the base is going to play safety, but then when they go to nickel, and obviously they play nickel more than they play base, Epps is a bit of a weakness.
Bit of a weakness. Makuba is somebody who showed a lot of potential before getting hurt last year. He's somebody who can move up, certainly, and possibly break out, play a role. Another concern, especially for Eagles fans on defense, Jalen Carter's situation is a little bit up in the air right now. He was not a full participant in mini camps. He was not present for a lot of drills. Possibly a hold-in situation. Also, there might be a shoulder injury. He is due for a contract extension. He saw Jeffrey Simmons's contract. He wants to get paid. The Eagles are not talking about it. Every time somebody at the Jeffrey Lurie or Howie Roseman level was interviewed about Jalen Carter's contract, they were extremely lukewarm, which means this is a situation that could develop through the month of August.
Yeah, and he, I mean, he was a little bit down last year, but I still think one of the top defensive tackles in the league. He's somebody that the Eagles want to keep around.
Yeah, but, you know, he may or may not have spat on Dak Prescott.
Well, yeah.
In other words, he did, but my neighbors get mad if I say he did, so he may or may not have done it. He may or may not have taken the Thursday night off against the Giants because he didn't like the turf. There's these other elements that they're clearly not comfortable with that he might not be as with the program as Roseman and Lurie would hope.
What's the general feeling around there since you are our Philly correspondent? Do people think this new offense, are they excited about it? Do they feel like it's going to work? Or do they feel like, yeah, our offense is – thank God for our defense because our offense is terrible.
Yeah, it's a little bit of that. There's been a good riddance to A.J. Brown. I think the city of Philadelphia soured on him towards the end. No one denies that he was a great player, but he's another guy where you got sick of the routine a little bit. Probably a wait-and-see approach. We'll wait and see for the first preseason game if we see Lemon at all, if we see some of these other guys, if we get a look at the new offense – you might get a more optimistic view from Eagles fans. Remember, Eagles fans, Philly fans were booing 17-year-olds for failing to catch fly balls during the home run derby. So here in Philly, everyone's in midseason form here in Philly. We're booing teenagers. So you're not going to get a lot of optimism about the offense just yet.
It was only a year ago that you had to argue with people that Jalen Hurts was not one of the five best quarterbacks in the league just because the Eagles had won the Super Bowl thanks to a lot of other players. And now I think nobody in Philadelphia would ever argue that. And so we'll have to see what happens.
That's true. There is a little bit of negativity surrounding Hurts too. And he needs to do it. It can't be the way it was last year, 2 years ago. Again, Saquon got like 2,000 yards. That was a big part of it. Need to see some development in Mannion's system.
Let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys. Our projections for this year are basically the same as last year's standings, which is, you know, is often the case. Mm-hmm. Dallas comes out with 8.5 mean wins, and they make the playoffs about 43% of the time. Now, here's the surprising projection for a lot of people. We ended up with their offense projected 14th.
Yeah.
Defense up to 24th. After last year, it was one of the three worst we have ever measured.
Right.
Special teams 5th and total 18th. Now, I know that that offense projection surprises people. The offensive projection surprised me, but they were only 8th on offense last year. I know people are arguing that they might be, some people are arguing they might be the best offense in the league other than the Rams. They were only 8th in DVOA last year, and that was with George Pickens keeping himself calm all year. How much do you want to bet that that is going to happen for 17 games on the franchise tag?
Right, that's exactly it. The only thing you have is the franchise tag, which is a little bit of a carrot and a stick situation for George Pickens. But I was surprised, too. I was surprised by that projection. I know I went back and forth with you about it because it was so low. When you look at it more, this was a team that moved the ball very well until it got towards the red zone, maybe around the 30-yard line. And it's almost like they kicked into Brian Schottenheimer mode then. And it's like, we're going to hand off and we're going to send Aubrey out there for a 53-yard field goal, and we're going to try and win like this, where, as we just saw on the graphic, they had the third worst defense of all time. You weren't going to win like that. I don't know if that's a systemic flaw. I don't know if play calling or lack of depth or something was causing those red zone woes.
Yes, as the graphic points out, for those of you who are listening on a podcast, they had 39 drives of 10 or more plays last year, which was tied for first in the NFL. So, yes, they actually did, you know, absolutely got these extended drives. And then around the 20, they'd be like, well, we'll just settle for Aubrey hitting it long. And then that was that. Right. There's a little bit of regression in it. It surprised me a little bit. I will not be surprised if they beat our projection on offense.
Right.
I also won't be surprised if the defense, despite the additions that they've made, and every addition, you know, every important addition to this team is on defense.
Yes.
It won't be surprising if they're closer to last year's worst than the prediction of 24th. They brought in, you know, Rashawn Gary, first-round pick, Malachi Lawrence, and D. Winters to play linebacker. Caleb Downs, the first-round pick, is going to be he's like Cooper DeJean. He's going to be safety and base and nickelback when they go to nickel. So there's some, you know, good new defensive players. Some of this is schedule. So last year, Dallas had the number 28 schedule. This year, they have the fourth hardest projected schedule. Now, schedule projections don't always come out right. Last year, for example, they were all completely wrong. But they come out right more than you think that they do. And so the Cowboys do have it somewhat tough this year. I mean, being second means you play the Rams. I don't remember who else is on their schedule because of finishing second last year. But it works out that they end up with a harder schedule than the Eagles.
Yeah, they do have the NFC West. They've got the AFC South, which again means you got the Jaguars and you've got the Texans and you've got a Colts team that could be pretty tough. They've got the Packers on there. They have the Ravens, which is another tough draw. I believe that's one of their second place draws. So tougher schedule this year. I think that is going to be an impact.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I would not be surprised if their offense is better than 14th, but I bet it's closer to last year's eighth than it is to the second that a lot of people are talking about. As good as, I mean, I think Dak Prescott is a very good quarterback. Hopefully, yes. I mean, I would say hopefully people are stopped questioning him, but we know that's not the case because that star on that helmet means you must suck. And so that being said, I don't think this is likely to be the year that they finally break that whatever 30-year string of not making it back to the NFC Championship game.
Right. Now, their over-under for wins is way up at 9.5. Now, you can argue me to 10 or 11 wins for this team, frankly. And one thing I'll say about that is 9.5 over at plus 115. That doesn't go with our stats, but would you consider it?
The plus 115 is nice juice, but I don't think I would go with it, no.
Right, right. Makes sense.
I think they can beat our projection, but if they do it, you know, 9-8 beats our projection, but it doesn't beat 9.5.
9.5. And again, a lot of times when we look at these things, schedule. Schedule can be king this time of year. It's going to nerf probably all the NFC East teams to a degree because they're all facing these tough opponents.
Yeah. FTNFantasy.com/almanac is a reminder of where you get the almanac. The physical copy is also at Amazon. I don't have mine yet, so I can't hold it up for you.
Me either.
But they are on the way. And, of course, you can make comments and ask questions on the YouTube feed. Let's talk about the Washington Commanders, a team that we were really big on last year and ended up really wrong about because of a lot of injuries. A defense that played like they were very old, right? We talked last year about old defenses are not necessarily bad, but when they play like they're old, that's bad.
Yes.
So they brought in a lot of fresh blood on defense, and hopefully they get a full year of Jaden Daniels on offense. We have them projected with 7.7 mean wins, 31% playoff odds. They are 24th on offense, a surprising 13th on defense, 4th on special teams, which comes out to 20th overall. And a big thing here is Jaden Daniels, because not only did Jaden Daniels miss a good amount of the season last year, but his DVOA was much lower than the year before when he did play. He went from 14th in passing in 2024 to 23rd in passing in 2025. So they need Daniels to be healthy, mm-hmm. and they need him to be better.
When he was playing, remember his injury situation was really choppy last year. It's not like he played for a while and got an injury. He was in, he was out, he was in and out. He missed 10 games last year, but they were not continuous 10 games. So some of the games where he returned, he looked like he was either banged up or just rusty. Like he had come back too quickly and they were asking too much of him and you would get these very sloppy games. Now, the good news with Daniels is he was a full participant during OTAs, during mini camps. Most of these were like elbow, shoulder, hand type injuries, not knee injuries, not core injuries. So it looks like he's not limited. This is not an RG3 situation as we want to compare any quarterback for the Washington being RG3. That's not the case. That's the good news. He's healthy. Who's he throwing to?
Terry McLaurin.
Yes.
And Brown is back.
Dimey Brown is back.
And third round pick Antonio Williams in the slot.
Yes, okay. He's a good little slot.
Right? A lot of people like him better than your run-of-the-mill third-round pick.
Okay.
And Chig Okonkwo as the tight end.
Chig Okonkwo is a pretty good tight end, probably better than Zach Ertz at this point in his career. Traylon Burks is in the mix.
We don't know who is the number two. We only know Antonio Williams is in the slot, but Traylon Burks is in the mix to be two. Dyami Brown is in the mix to be two.
Brandon Ayuk. I think, by the way...
I don't think, some of those Instagrams that Ayuk has put out, how can any team bring him on board? He's attacked Daniels.
Yes. Yeah, he needs to go after, like, Adam Peters, too. That's the next step. But I was thinking if we talk some trash on him here, he might do one about us.
Brandon Ayuk is a punk.
You went right there. You went right there.
We're just trying to get attention. Sorry, we're just trying to get attention, Brandon. Sorry.
We don't mean it. Yes, we do. We totally do.
I mean, the thing about the RG3 comparisons is here's another makes the RG3 comparison really easy. RG3 was also in a really good class of quarterbacks where after the first year, he looked like the best one.
Yes.
And then the injuries took him, mm-hmm. and Luck and Wilson had much better careers. Yep. Just like right now, I think a lot of people, based on injuries, would take Caleb Williams and Drake May ahead of Daniels, even though a year ago, Daniels looked like the best of the three.
Right, and that's exactly what happened in the past, where Andrew Luck and some of the other guys, Russell Wilson certainly, moved up past him. It's funny because one of the things new offensive coordinator David Blau is trying to do, similar to what Sean Mannion's doing, quarterback's going to be under center more. There's going to be more of a quick game. We're taking away some of the designed runs, obviously a frailer quarterback in Jaden Daniels' case. We're taking away some of the up-tempo stuff. And it sounds like they're trying to make Jaden Daniels into more of a Caleb Williams, when last year the goal is to make Caleb Williams into more of a Jaden Daniels.
Yes, as Trench Down 2 points out, a lot of the magic that made Jaden work in 2024 was that he ran for almost 900 yards. It made up for his lack of super talented targets. But he was not like Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is really good at getting down or getting out of bounds without getting hit. Daniels got hit a more. I mean, we'll talk about another quarterback who gets hit a lot in about 3 minutes. But Daniels definitely gets hurt, and he needs to run safer. Operatic says, thanks for the reminder. Just purchased the Almanac. That's right. FTNFantasy.com/Almanac. Do you know that this is, I believe this is our 22nd book?
Yeah. I think it's 22nd with you and
including
I.
Including the Pro Football Prospectus books. This is the 22nd one. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Although there was that one you did earlier. I don't think
the that 2004 one that we co-did with like Sean Lehman. Yeah. Yes, that was
22nd Aaron Schatz is in charge. Almanac. And I've been with it since the beginning. And I'm going a little crazy now.
The defense we should talk about because they added a zillion edge rushers.
Yes.
Clavon Chaisson, Odafe Owa gave a lot of money to Charles Omenihu, who I think is going to play 5-tech because they're going to play a 3-4. Interestingly, people love their linebackers, except if they're playing a 3-4, they don't have much room to have them all on the field at the same time. They took Sonny Styles in the first round in the top 10.
Yes.
They've got Leo Chenal now from Kansas City, and they still have Frankie Louvu. So they're really going to only get all three of them on the field if Louvu plays an edge position, which he can't because he can rush the passer. But there's a lot of interesting things going on their defense. They also have Amik Robertson now from Detroit, Nick Cross, who I would believe was in Indianapolis last year. So they've added a lot of guys. The dead body of Marshon Lattimore is out the window. Bobby Wagner, the great Hall of Famer who no longer plays at that level, is also gone.
Yes.
So, I mean, our defensive projection for them, it reflects the fact that they added a lot of talent.
They added a lot of talent, similar to what the Cowboys did, probably more of an upgrade and weren't as big of a problem along the way. Age of that unit still bothers me, though. Some of the guys like Nick Cross are kind of in their prime, in their early prime. I'm still looking at, in the secondary, Akilah Witherspoon, Reginald Douglas, who was picked up very recently. You've got these older cornerbacks who are coming in. Yes, it's not Marshon Lattimore anymore, which is what I think I smell coming in through my window right now, is the burning of Lattimore. But, like, they're still older. They're still journeymen. They're still not outstanding corners.
Yeah, I mean, I will fully admit when we look at our projections, one of the ones that I go, they may not be that good is the Washington defense. Projections they were dead last in yards per game allowed last year. The you know, projections, you tend to think that teams are going to be better than the projections because we don't know when the injuries are coming yet. So you're optimistic. Every team tried to improve themselves. So you end up optimistic about most teams. Most teams you look at and go, oh, they should be better than that projection. But then the injuries will show up and some of them won't be. And, you know, we'll have to see what happens to Washington. The other thing I want to mention for Washington is sort of surprising that Tyler Biadasz, that they let him leave. And Nick Allegretti is now the center, which is meh.
Very meh. Yeah, he's somebody that brought in a couple of years ago thinking he was going to be a guard. And that's one of the things I saw some of the Commanders bloggers kibitzing about. Like, what was behind that? Why did they let Biadasz walk? He's in the Chargers now.
Yes, he is now the center for the Chargers.
And they didn't so much let him walk as just, like, let him go. Like, he had a year left. He had an option. It wasn't just a regular free agency situation. Odd choice there. You kind of wonder a little bit, like, where the actual cash is for the Commanders with all the veterans they've signed in recent years. Are they having a little bit of a cash flow problem or just a budgeting, Josh Harris saying is enough is enough problem, and that's why they let some of these veterans go?
Yeah. By the way, there's a question from Operatic here about who Washington's field goal kicker and punter are, given their special teams project high. Field goal kicking doesn't matter much for special teams projections because field goal kicking is so inconsistent from year to year. Their punter is Tress Way, who's very good.
Way is very good. There's a kicker battle going on between Drew Stevens, the rookie from Iowa, and hold your ears, 49ers fans, Jake Moody.
Yeah.
Jake Moody and the Totally Bummer Summer is the other kicker option there. They're hoping Luke McCaffrey comes up. Now, he had some good returns last year, though him and Debo were sharing it. But there is a potential kicker situation in Washington. We might do more kicker situation when we get to the Giants.
Yeah. Speaking of which, another team with kicker battle is the New York Giants. New York Giants, our prediction for them is 6.8 mean wins, 17.5% playoff chance. Their projection ranks 27th on offense, 15th on defense, 24th on special teams. For a total of 25th. Now, here's the thing about the Giants. Before we did all the projections back in, I mean, I'm talking about like in January when I would be hanging out at Gillette in the press box. We'd be talking about like, who's the team that's going to make a move next year? I was like, the Giants are the best bet.
Right.
And I still think that the Giants, along with the Titans, have the best story to tell as far as why they would beat our projection. Right? Young quarterback. Take big step, plus new coaching staff, plus in the case of the Giants, really good receiver who may come back from injury, put a pin in that, usually is what can mean big improvement, but it usually doesn't. Okay. It can, but it usually doesn't. And so the projections for the Giants are down because the likelihood is that those things will not combine for them to take a big step. But what I like to talk about is telling the story. If you look at the teams we have projected near the bottom of the league and you say, which of these teams can you tell the story of why they beat the projection? Yeah. It's a lot easier to tell the story with the Giants than it is with the Miami Dolphins or the Cleveland Browns.
And what do people like me do for a living? We're storytellers. Right. So the Giants became – the Giants were very much a darling of this narrative of they're going to go worse the first, et cetera. After the Harbaugh hire, certainly, and then they bring in Isaiah Likely and they make some other changes. And I think that that enthusiasm rose to a point until the April Malik Nabers surgery information kicked in. And that was the bucket of ice water that fell on the Giants story.
And I believe this projection has Nabers back. So the projection is even worse if Nabers doesn't come back at the start of the season.
Right. And what we're saying, John Harbaugh spoke yesterday, I believe, to NFL Network. And he said that, yeah, Malik Nabers will be back for training camp, quote, one way or another. Now, if you don't speak Harbaughese, what Harbaugh is saying is that Malik Nabers will not be ready for full participation in training camp at all. He does not quote Blondie unless he is kind of like sending a message a little bit or trying to temper enthusiasm a bit. So we're on a very much in a wait and see mode with Malik Nabers. And the Giants really tipped their hand by that, because at the end of minicamp, they went out and signed OBJ.
Oh my God. They brought in so many of these receivers that are like
Juju Smith-Schuster. And I think
Braxton Berrios.
I think they might've called Amani Toomer, Victor Cruz. I'm not sure. But yeah, OBJ.
Yep. Chris Callaway, sure.
Stephen Baker, the touchdown Baker. He's back. Oh, my God. Okay, we're done with the old Giants. I remember some guys segment here. Homer Jones. Now we're done.
Oh, my God. Darnell Mooney is there now. Calvin Austin is there now.
And you're not kidding. Darnell Mooney actually is there.
No, those guys, we're not kidding. Those are not old Giants receivers. Those are current Giants receivers. I mean, they also are going to, like, the very heavy offense because they brought in Patrick Ricard. So they're going to use the fullback. They brought in Isaiah Likely. They still have Johnson from last year. So they're probably going to do some two tight end stuff. So this is Harbaugh's team now, right? Like, I mean, they didn't bring Todd Monken along because Monken got the Browns head coaching job.
Right.
But this is Harbaugh's team. They're going to run an offense like the Ravens have run, with a lot of different personnel groupings and a lot of heavier personnel groupings. But Jackson Dart, so much of his value last year was in his running.
Yes.
You just have to hope that he can pass better.
That he can pass better.
Bill Houston wants to know, what are our odds of Brandon Ayuk coming back down to earth to sign with the Commanders or any team at this point? I think they're very low, because he really burned bridges with that Instagram post about Jaden Daniels. Like, I'm going to attack my future quarterback is just not a – you know, I always talk about this, like, not that I'm an expert on personalities, but – if a player goes after his coaches or the front office, you know, whatever, that happens. When they go after teammates, that's a problem.
Yes. I don't think Brandon Ayuk wants to play football anymore. And he doesn't know how to say that, or he doesn't want to say that. So we get this version of things where he's out there making these weird excuses as to why he won't do the paperwork steps to become a free agent and then potentially sign with a team. So, and by the way, with the Daniels thing, a lot of people saw the first Instagram video, which is right around the 4th of July. And a lot of us were like, this is a bit, right? Maybe they're going back and forth with each other and we're misinterpreted. He doubled down. He made it clear that he's now beefing with Jaden Daniels. And if you're not going back to the 49ers and you're not going to the Commanders, I don't know where you're going right now if you're Brandon Ayuk.
The defense is interesting for the Giants. They added a lot of guys, a lot of linemen, Arvell Reese in the first round, Tremaine Edmonds. They were so bad against the run last year. The hope is adding Edmonds and guys like DJ Reader are going to help with that.
Right.
For all the edge rushers that they have, they were only 14th last year in adjusted sack rate and 16th in pressure rate. So you got to be able to cover too, like even for pressure. Because at a certain point, like, you can't, you're not always going to win super fast.
Right. And their secondary, their cornerbacks are still a weakness. You also have to be able to stop the, I mean, you have to be able to score some more points. And getting back to Dart, last year, especially in the second half of the year, he was not a great passer. He was somebody who a lot of times late in blowout losses would get his stats up, a little of a Jacoby Brissett type of thing. He was not sustaining that. That's why his rookie of the year candidacy went from he's the front runner in October to, like, he's down below Tet McMillan and guys like that along the way. So that's another position that has to go show growth. And you're right. Having five edge rushers and, like, bad cornerbacks is not as good as having two edge rushers.
Yeah, and two good cornerbacks.
Decent cornerbacks, yeah.
So of all these teams in the NFC East,
yes,
which one would you say is most likely to do either much better or worse than our projection?
I would have to go with the Giants, and I was looking at the odds. The Giants over-under is 7.5. And from what you're telling me, and we worked on the chapter together, you wouldn't take the Giants over 7.5. But
no, I don't think I would, actually.
Right. But if
I can see how it happened.
Yeah. So if you believe the story, and if you're in believer mode, tease that up. I did a little teasing, and you could take the Giants up to over 9.5, which is not stratospheric, and you can get that at plus 285. So if you think we're wrong, if you're feeling the hunch and you believe the Giants are going to put it all together, tease that up a little bit so you get a good money line and you get some real enthusiasm. And then again, all they have to do is go 10-7. I don't think that's insurmountable for that team.
Mine would be the Cowboys, although I wouldn't take the Cowboys over 9.5. I definitely can see the world where their offense is a top five offense.
Right.
And their defense becomes like 20th or something.
Right.
And then that's a playoff team.
That's a playoff team. The schedule is not as hard as it looks, and they become that. So that makes perfect sense. Both of those suggest that we're worried about the Eagles underachieving a little bit.
Yeah, because I think nobody knows what we're going to get out of their offense, but I still feel fairly confident in them to win the division because the defense should be really good, you know, unless injuries, but that's everybody is unless injuries, right?
Yeah, 32 unless injuries for the entire duration of this podcast.
Yeah. All right. That does it for today's show. Thank you so much for everybody who is watching. Thank you to everybody who is listening. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app. Tell all your friends about the show and about the FTN Football Almanac 2026. Once again, it's available at ftnfantasy.com/almanac. Thank you to Laquan Jones for producing our show. We will be back next week at noon Eastern on Thursday with another division. I'm not sure which one yet because I haven't scheduled, but there will be some shows with the other FTN Almanac writers. You know, Brian Knowles will come on to talk about his divisions and Dan Pizzuto will come on to talk about his division. So I'm not sure who we're doing next Thursday yet. I don't think we're necessarily doing them in order, but we will do another division next week. Until then, he's Mike Tenier. I'm Aaron Schatz. So long, everybody.